There's any who, any way, any how, but there's no any what. Like, nobody says any what.
We're never going to get anywhere today.
There's anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah, there's anywhere.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and...
We'll bring it into existence.
Anyway, your time is now.
Previously on Bad Heroes.
Riva had run into this cage with the werewolf on her heels.
Ira is going to slam the cage door and lock it.
No one has a key.
Oh no. Did I just kill my friend?
She winks and she appears on the other side of those bars.
You're very, very lucky. But the thing about luck is eventually it does run out.
Where the hell is she?
Gideon heard, kill Gideon, and now Tonrir is looking at her. She's going to put her hand out.
Tonrir, I know you're in there. The sun and the moon still move in the sky, and I am not alone.
Tonrir, you've got a rage deep inside, I think. And right now you want to kill her. Give me a will saving throw. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Woo! Yes!
Gideon is now going to try to freeze that bowl of water that Lena's holding so she can't use it anymore.
Her bowl of water just exploded. Tonrir just turned on her and she is furious.
Heads up.
Tonrir, you feel a tingling sensation. Lena has cast the spell Call Lightning. That lightning bolt hits you. And it hits you hard.
Don't you see? I've already won.
You see chaos. There's that barrier at the edge of camp, and werewolves have begun slamming against it, and you can see cracks starting to form.
He's gonna cast Mending. Fill the cracks and hold them back. Your purpose is to protect the pack.
You see a black kite. It's Ning.
Lena, I should have seen. There was a rot from within. And that rot was you.
Mother, I never wanted to fight you.
And Ning twirls her cane and says,
"Damn right you didn't."
Hey, it is Rev's birthday in like 2 days.
Everybody say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
For your birthday, I got you this boss fight.
Wait, didn't we already do the boss fight?
We're on to phase two of the boss fight.
Coolness has played video games. He knows how this works.
It's the part where you're like, aha, I've won. And then it plays a cutscene and you're like, uh-oh.
This isn't even my final form.
It's fun you say that because we actually are about to have a cutscene. And I want you guys to think of it as a video game style cutscene.
Shouldn't we get like a couple of like small fights in between to like build up? Because obviously we're not at that level yet.
Is there a save point where we can heal and stuff?
Oh, jeez.
Right? Can we go take like an 8-hour nap?
Coolness just got up and walked away. It's recording setup and he's gone now.
I feel like all of us being on video has made us off the rails today.
Well, the problem is we can see each other now.
We can see the bullshit that we're doing.
I'm going to pull us back in here. Right, cinematic piece, right? So we're in the cinematic piece of the boss fight.
Yes. So we are going to break out of initiative for a second to let things happen more quickly because we've been in initiative for like 3 episodes. So let's take a little break from initiative and let Tonbear get his electrocuted butt up off the ground. And let's let Lena and Ning argue. I'm going to bring us in, and after I bring us in, if you all want to do any quick things, like share a healing potion or fortify the barrier, something like that, go for it. Just let me know quickly what you're going to do while Ning and Lena square off. Ira, Riva, and Gideon, you find yourselves at the north side of camp, attempting to calm the werewolves of Sanguine Sylvis as they... God damn it, I have to sneeze. Fucking shit. Come or don't, jeez.
Oh,
Are we doing phrasing anymore?
Phrasing.
Focus.
I'm just going. Ira, Reva, and Gideon, you find yourselves at the north side of camp, attempting to calm the werewolves of Sanguine Sylvis as they rage against the barrier that keeps them contained on the full moon. Ira and Reva sit on the white wolf Solus's back, while Gideon sits on Pax's back. And in the light of Ira's torch and the moon peeking through dark clouds, you three see the six wolves nearest to you, who were moments away from tearing through the barrier, slowing down. Soothed by Gideon's voice and Reva's use of ghost sound to block out the chaos that has a grip on the rest of camp. Tonrir, you lay on the ground beside the wild black bear who has followed you into battle. And this new friend lumbers towards you now, blinking slowly and nudging you uncertainly. The earth around you is charred, dark lines in the earth branching out like a nervous system where the lightning struck you. And in the center of camp, Lena and Ning, the alpha, are squaring off.
And that's it. We've done the recording.
Wow, that was really great.
Good fight.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go have a nap. It's shocking that this took me 7 hours to prepare.
Lena and Ning, okay. I'm just trying to figure out where they are, but I see them.
If you guys want to do, you know, anything quickly, exchange health potions, peel Tonrir off the ground.
Scrape them off.
Yeah.
Scrape them off the ground. I do want to say there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 werewolves between you and Ning and Lena. So, of course, you're also welcome to run over there. It would be...
I don't want to get in the fucking middle of a werewolf fight. No.
All that Tonrir is going to try to do is just peel himself off the ground. So he ain't doing much right now after getting vaulted.
Are we still actively doing our respective spells in order to keep the werewolves soothed?
Yeah, I mean, that situation is still very much live, so...
It's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I think that's what most of Reva's focus is going towards right now. She is...
Same with Gideon.
Like, out of the corner of her eye, she can see that Ning and Lena are facing each other down in the center of camp, but she's only glancing over there periodically, but she's mostly focused on the situation at the barrier.
Okay, so Gideon is like, the sun and the moon, and Reva is like,
ooh, ooh, soothing noises.
Soothing wind, ooh.
Reva's just a white noise machine.
So, Reva's trying to be like one of those meditative mantras that you find on YouTube that's like, be the tree. You are the tree. Your roots reach into the ground.
Everyone is
You are
calm.
Now completely underground. You are the seed underground. Try not to scream. Claustrophobia.
How far away is Tonrir?
10 feet from you.
He's very close, about 10 feet away.
So I'm just trying to think if I need to get off the...
The Solus.
Solus? The Solus?
The Solus.
Oh, to try and go heal?
Yeah, because he's in a bad way right now.
Wouldn't be a bad idea, especially since you'd be slipping off to the left, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have cover.
Ira is going to do that. He's going to climb off of Solus and head over to Tonbear to the left.
So Ira, holding his torch and with the snake Tassir wrapped around his neck, heads towards the newly singed Tonbear, who is being nudged by the wild black bear.
Bear.
As you would do that approach, the black bear is going to look up at you, see who you are, and then best that you could probably empathize is looking a little bit worried.
Or worried about?
About Tonrir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ira is going to see Bear and his look of worry. I've never seen a bear look worried. I'm trying to imagine it.
Animals tend to look upward instead of downward when they're trying to like, oh no, what's wrong? So that's probably exactly what this bear is doing in front of you right now.
I watched a bunch of super cute videos of bears last night to kind of try to get my bearings. And bears are super cute because they have kind of, coolness is just leaving again. Because they have like kind of small eyes for their face and they do a lot of like blink, blink. Oh, no. And then their lips this sort of funny, I don't know how to describe it. How would you even describe this lip thing? Where their lips like kind of duck
they
face out.
They flange out both. Directions, yeah.
And then just kind of go, and it's very, bears are like real silly.
But they can rip you limb from limb.
And from this we learn the silliest of creatures are to be feared.
Ira heads over there and sees Bear Bear, and Bear Bear looking up very concerned and nudging Ton Bear. What does Ira see when he looks at Ton Bear?
Ton Bear might be stirring a little bit, just trying to get bearings. He is splayed out on the ground right near where that lightning bolt struck. So you see where the singed ground is nearby. And the smoke is dissipating now, but you could have seen that little bit of smoke coming off of him. So you do see signs of life, but he's not looking great.
As Ira gets closer and sees this scene of scorched earth and scorched bear, he can see a little bit of movement, but is really not sure how with it Ton Bear is. He's going to approach very slowly with his hand out, just like gauging where Ton Bear is at in his like consciousness, and try to find a part of his body that isn't scorched to gently touch.
Okay.
Ira is going to cast Cure Moderate Wounds.
Okay.
Which is 2d8 plus 5 points of damage.
Nice.
Healing to damage.
Yeah, don't. And you walk up in a surprise heal turn. Ira kills Tonner.
18.
His hit points are going to jump from 11 to 29.
Yeah, so Ira has his hand on the side of Ton Bear's ribs, and slowly you can see the backtracking of the veiny, scorched areas in the opposite direction from Ira's hands. Those veins are going to slowly heal up Ton Bear's body. That scorched skin and fur is going to slowly heal, and the fur is going to grow back.
Okay. As you have your hand pressed against basically what are his ribs, you feel a huge breath in and a huge breath out. The hand just moves a great distance because this is a huge bear. And he works his way to his feet. And you see his skin do like the twitch shudder, like some animals do when they've, you know, got that shiver. And he looks up at you, and you're face to face with Ton Bear for the first time. And you see these runes clearly. And you see his knowing eyes. And he almost nuzzle pushes you as thanks, because he's still not quite aware of how strong he is in this form. But his first thing is going to be getting you behind him. And he's going to walk around you to put himself between you and everybody else.
Hmm. And Ira, you find yourself between two bears.
Aw.
This is the safest place to be in the forest right now.
Probably true.
Especially now that Ton Bear is back in fighting shape.
Tonrir, Ira, you see a huge figure sprinting across camp, leaping through the fray. And this huge shadow does a large leap and rebounds off a tree, flying directly at you, something small in their arms. They land huge and heavy on the ground in front of you, and it's Harlow. And they open their arms, and Tonrir, they gently set Rulthuin down at your feet. He's in a bad way. His wing looks broken, but he is breathing.
This is rough because Tonrir is in his wild shape form, so he can't do much. He can't cast any spells or anything like that. And as Rulthuin is placed on the ground, Tonrir is going to nudge him with his muzzle just to see how Rulthuin reacts.
Rulthuin clicks his beak at you and finds his way onto his feet and lifts his good wing.
Okay. Shit. This is a difficult choice because in order for Tonrir to do anything, he would have to leave wild shape. Tonrir is going to look at you, Ira. You see, after he's nuzzled Rulthuin, that he looks at you, and it's going to be up to you as to what happens with Rulthuin at this moment.
Ira's first instinct is to heal Rulthuin. So that's what he does. He sees Ruthwein in that condition, and his first instinct is to go up to him and to pet his head and cast Cure Light Wounds.
Okay.
I need to be careful because I only have so many spell slots.
I think that's very in character, though, that regardless of how many spell slots that you had, you would
be, yeah,
I have to help.
Right, like solve the problem right in front of him.
It would be hard not to. I mean, no matter who you are.
Yeah, so I think that's what Ira does, is cast Cure Light Wounds on Rolthwain while petting Rolthwain's little owl head.
Okay.
Okay.
4 plus 5, so 11.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. 9. God, I'm nine. So mad at math, you guys.
Good morning. I thought I was the night person. Your magic is purple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you reach out, and I think you rub your thumb over the top of Rulthuin's head, and he chitters and tilts his head at you, his beak clicking, and you see a wave of that purple magic move over his body and towards his broken wing, and there is a small snapping sound as it puts itself back in place, and then, even though there's still blood on his feathers, he manages to lift both wings and does a experimental flap, and he looks way better. And it looks like he's capable of flying.
Which is probably exactly what he's going to do. He's probably just going to get up again and survey the area and see what's going on. So he'll be up and out for the moment.
Okay, so Ruthabrine takes flight and goes above camp and above the scene. I love that we have joint custody of Rulthuin and Bear.
Yeah, right.
I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Gideon, Riva, anything from you two?
Nope.
Yeah, we're just keeping the spell going.
Okay, cool. So Gideon and Riva are just keeping that spell going. And those 6 werewolves near you are noticeably calmer. And you get the impression that you keeping the spell going is actually preventing them from smashing through that large crack in the barrier. And at the center of camp, the Alpha and her daughter square off. A gnarled white werewolf and a small woman, both looking furious. Lena stands, her maroon cloak ripped, and she's bleeding. There is a circle of drying blood and a hole in her shirt, in her stomach, where Gideon's crossbow bolt sunk in, long since discarded on the battlefield. But now, 2 pairs of massive claw marks, 4 large lines each, trail across her chest and her abdomen. And that wound bleeds onto her shredded shirt. And she sneers at Ning and says, "I've tried to tell you so many times in so many ways, but you never listened. You made me do this." And Lena flexes her hand, and as she flexes her hand, a lightning bolt comes down from the sky and fires directly at Ning. But Ning rolls to the side out of the way, and Lena continues, "There is a natural order, and we are at the top of it. And if it takes a war to show you that, well, then I'm more than willing to create one. This peace, this covenant, it's stifling. Don't you feel it? Our entire pack is hiding from people. Do you know what a joke that is? Lions don't hide from lambs." And Ning launches a blast of white light from her cane directly at Lena. And at the last second, Lena rolls to the side and the light shoots past her. But as the light shoots past her, it collides with the barrier and it creates a hole.
No!
This fucking bitch.
Lena rolls backwards and escapes out of the hole.
No!
Oh my god, what a fucking coward.
Ning raises her hands and you can see the cracks in the barrier starting to seal themselves, including the hole that Lena just ran through. And Ning says, "I've got it here. Get her." And Pax very quickly says, "Guardians, crowd control. You too, Solas, stay. Keep the wolves from leaving or from hurting Ning.
Help them calm down. Harlow, you're with the pups. They're in Ning's hut. We're going after Lena.
How do we get past the barrier?
There's still that hole that Lena went through, but you gotta hurry.
Oh, I thought Ning had closed it up.
She's starting to heal the cracks, and that hole is starting to shrink.
Okay.
Tonrer is not going to hesitate. Rolltowain will follow right out that hole. And as the pair of them do so, that Bear is following has also had enough excitement for one day. And after they're outside of the barrier, they're going to depart.
There's a spider in the middle of camp whose summoning has ended.
Like, where is his? What?
They're just there happening? Now?
Yeah, I should mention that also, I think, because it would have been a couple rounds now, the spider will have vacated also.
Okay. All right.
As to where, because of the barrier, I'm not sure, but if there's a hole, then just skitters across camp to go.
Spider does a sidestep out of a crack, just like, ey, da da da. It's got like 8 legs and they all have a hat. Da 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 da.
Was the hole that Lena slipped through like on the northeast side of camp? Like,
yeah, it's on the northeast side of camp. Tell me how you want to do it. You've got Pax. You got Tonbear.
I think Tonbear. Yeah,
are you going to hitch a ride while I run past?
Do it.
I think Ira should. Ira's right next to him.
Do it.
Okay. Ira looks at Tonbear and gauges whether that is something that Tonbear is okay with.
Tonbear is not caring at the moment because he's chasing after Lena. So it's basically a split second decision for you whether you're just going to
grab hold or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess Ira is going to.
You're going to bear back.
So Ira loops his arms around Tonbear's neck as he passes and sort of swings on cowboy style. And now this bear has a small purple cat.
And there's a small orange snake.
And the small purple cat has a smaller orange snake hitching a ride.
The weirdest and Russian nesting dolls there is.
And they're all wearing cowboy hats.
Oh my gosh.
Someone please draw that.
Yeah, Reva, hearing Pax's instructions, looks over at Pax and
what are you?
Whoa, off they go. Reva looks over at Pax and says, "Mind if I hitch a ride?" And moves to stand up in Solus's saddle since Solus is staying behind.
Get on.
Reva hops over.
Ugh. Awkward closeness.
Pax now has Gideon and Reva, and Pax is a lot faster than you two walking. Pax is not as big as Harlow, so is not necessarily as equipped to carry two people, which I would say brings Pax down to approximately the speed of a Tonbear.
Which was pretty fast.
Pretty fast compared to you all.
You see that shoop?
Yeah, in the map, it was really fast.
There's no gradual way to move things around a Roll20 map, okay? It just looks like you're all teleporting at all times. Okay, so Reva and Gideon, you ride on Pax's back, and Ira, you ride on Tonbear, and you basically just dive through that hole as it seals behind you, and now there is no way in and there is no way out. And as you guys get outside that barrier, Pax rips off their gloves. Pax has been wearing those protective gloves that cover their claws in order to stop from really hurting anyone, and they rip their gloves off and say, "I am not holding back." And tell me just really quick how you guys are tracking her. She's a little bit ahead of you. She is out of sight.
Rolltowain.
Okay.
Gideon is mostly just relying on Pax to know where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Gideon, you're relying on Pax's nose. Tonra, you're relying on Rolltowain. Do you have a seek roll, some kind of thing?
Yeah, let me.
What is that?
It's just a perception roll because I don't know that.
Okay.
It'll be an 18 for chase.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's being that careful. I think that's good enough. And so Rolltowain lets out a cry to let you know which direction to go, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then also from beneath you, Gideon and Reva, you hear Pax, and Pax says, "She's fast, but I can smell her now. Whatever was stopping it before, it's done." Just for fun, does anyone want to do an arcana check or maybe just an in your actual brain logic check to try to figure out why the animals couldn't smell Lena?
I could do a check on it.
I used the same spell earlier.
You talking about trackless step?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll a check, kids.
17.
I mean, yeah, I think that's good enough. So she is using trackless step just like Tonner had, but also earlier she had cast hide from animals. That's a spell you are familiar with because it's what that potion Gideon bought was imbued with. It's what you used Gideon to jump onto Iris's back undetected. And it prevents animals from sensing a figure at all. And you get the impression that trackless step and hide from animals is probably how Lena has been creeping around most of this time, because you have been with werewolves this entire time and you've been relying on them to be able to sense if anyone was around, and they can't.
So sneaky.
Yeah. But it seems to be gone now because Tonmer, you can smell her too. And I think you five, six, if you count Rulthuin, chase her about a quarter mile away from camp. And you emerge from a tree line, following Pax's nose, following Rulthuin, and you see Lena, her maroon cloak trailing behind her as she runs away from you.
Just as a reminder, I believe Reva would still have mage armor.
I do. I've got it.
It lasts for hours.
It does. Also, just out of curiosity, how long would you say it's been since we left camp?
I mean, it's been several minutes. Yeah.
Okay. So my fatigue condition lasted for 10 rounds of combat. But since we left initiative, I think that's equal to like 60 seconds. So Reva has, since she's been riding on Pax's back, I think she's like caught her breath at this point and is no longer fatigued.
Okay, good.
Good.
How far would you say Pax is from Tonbear?
I think Pax and Tonbear are keeping pace. I think they're together. Does that seem right to you, Tonner?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're kind of moving together.
Okay, then. While we're traveling, Gideon will also reach over and touch, I guess, Tonbear's rump.
Arm of that booty.
Since I'm sitting on Pax, I'm a little further back, so.
You touch the bear butt?
I touch the bear butt. I'm going to touch the bear butt and also give you mage armor.
Nice.
Sweet.
Just on his butt?
Just on the butt.
So make sure you use that booty when you're fighting.
+4 AC bonus.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So you cast that on Tonner, and Lena is in front of you. She is sprinting through a small clearing down a vanishing footpath, the trail disappearing beneath a slippery layer of red and orange leaves. Rain pours and lightning strikes along the path. But you can move faster than her. And if you keep going at this pace, you will catch her. What is your approach? Quickly, there is no time or you will lose her. How do you follow?
You said it's a slippery orange leaves?
Yeah, so the ground, largely everywhere you've been, is covered in heavy leaves because autumn has sort of just come to Sanguine Selvas. So there is a heavy blanket of leaves. And it's slippery because it's raining so hard. I don't know if you've ever run through the mud while it's raining, but it's actually pretty difficult.
I'm going to continue straight ahead. Sorry you're along for the ride. Partially because I have Woodland Stride.
Okay.
As a class feature, which means that I don't suffer any impairment while moving through undergrowth, overgrown areas. So I'm just going to keep barreling forward.
Okay, perfect. So you don't need to do any kind of check. Reva, Gideon, what's the plan with Pax?
Reva's just kind of along for the ride. She's just sort of clinging to Pax's scruff.
Yeah, I would say that same goes for Gideon. Like, she knows she has no chance at keeping up on her own, so she's just letting Pax lead the way until we get to a point where we can,
like, hopefully surround her or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Then if you don't have any other instructions, Pax is going to keep pace with Tonbear. They are going to move together, charging straight down this path, and as you all run down that path in pursuit of Lena, wet leaves sliding under Pax's feet and Tonrir moving gracefully over them, something happens.
Of course it does.
I need everyone to give me a reflex saving throw.
20.
Okay. Oh, boy. Oh. Oh, but. 10.
Oh, no. 21.
22.
And Gideon Dunn felled off the werewolf. Hit by a tree branch or something.
All right.
Their face is not looking good.
I'm just imagining it as Pax running through this forest and Reva going, whoop, and ducking underneath the tree branch, and Gideon going and just
clothesline.
Clothesline.
So you hear a loud click, and the ground beneath you gives way. Damp earth and leaves slide downward, and so do all of you, as two halves of a circular metallic grate fall open.
What the fuck?
Parting in the middle of a 10-foot-wide pit. You try to grab hold of anything to stop your fall, but everything happens too quickly. Ira, Riva, you are the closest. You brush your fingers along the edge, but you can't hold your grip. And you drop 10 feet and land in cold water at the bottom of the pit. I would like everyone to roll a d6 for fall damage.
I got a 3.
2.
Wow, really? We got 5, 4, 3, 2?
Wait, who got 5 damage?
I did.
Oh.
All right. So as you fall and as you hit the wet ground, two halves of the grate swing back up as if they are spring-loaded. And as they slam shut, you hear something like the tumblers of a lock sliding firmly into place.
What the fuck?
You are standing in about a foot of water.
How much room to the top?
10 feet up.
Okay.
Did we all kind of like fall off of each other as we fell?
Yeah, I think you all fell in sort of a hilarious pile.
Okay. It's 10 feet down, so... Riva's gonna splash around and scramble out of the water and climb up onto Pax's head, onto Pax's shoulders and say, I am sorry about this.
Hey, what the fuck?
And jumps off of Pax's shoulders.
Ow!
And disappears.
Just like...
She's gone. She's not there anymore.
Okay.
Yeet juice. It's all about that yeet juice.
So you other three... find yourself in the pit with Pax. And I think Rulthuin is circling overhead. And there is still that rain is pouring down over you and pouring into this pit.
Ira casts Summon Instrument and summons the tiniest violin and sings a very sad song.
Or maybe, damn it.
He gets a harmonica because we're kind of like in jail. So he's just like playing the harmonica.
Hey, this is Dre Silvertooth, and thank you for listening to episode 44. Ooh, symmetrical. Of Bad Heroes, part 19 of the Wild Hunt arc. Tomorrow is my birthday! So for my birthday, I got you this episode. I made that joke last year, and guess what? I made it again, and I will repeat it every year, just like my birthday. If you are enjoying the show, may I recommend our Patreon? Patreon.com/badheroes. Or, if you'd rather throw a one-time tip at us bards, we also have a Ko-fi. ko-fi.com/badheroes. And hey, if you're strapped for cash and just don't have room in your budget to support the arts, that's totally cool. You can still help if you want. Leaving a review on any platform is endlessly helpful. Spotify just launched a new rating system, and it is super easy, stars only, no text. So if you are listening on Spotify, you can click those 5 stars right now without even pausing me. Another thing you could do is share that you are enjoying the show on social media so someone else might find us. Or, best of all, you can just tell a friend. Those one-on-one recommendations go further than anything. So if there's someone you know who loves fantasy, comedy, werewolves, tabletop games, or just a good story, send them our way. All right, I want to tell you about where you can get an amazing custom dice bag to store all your shiny click-clack math rocks. Games by B is the best. You can find B on Etsy at Games by B, that's B-E-E, like the little bzz creature, and this beautiful shop has dice bags, dice trays, and even little patches. And B even has a Bad Heroes dice bag and tray that we helped design featuring our cool snake logo. I highly recommend checking it out. It is awesome. As always, we want to thank our sponsor, Roll20. You can build your own virtual tabletop and play games with your friends from anywhere at roll20.net. We also want to shout out our partners at Grinding Coffee, who can deliver tasty coffee right to your door. They've got a flavor called The Gay Agenda that I got a few people for Christmas, and I have been informed that it is very, very tasty. You can use the code BADHEROES, all one word, at grindingcoffee.co for 10% off your next order. Music in this episode is On the Shore and Prelude and Action by Kevin MacLeod, and Run and Chance by Kai Engel. Our theme is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane. We also used a bunch of sound effects from freesound.org, and you can find the credits for those in the show notes. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at Bad Heroes Cast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you want to share spoilers on Twitter and shout about current events, you can tag your posts with hashtag Bad Heroes Spoilers. That's all for now. Our next episode will be out as soon as we can get it to you. For now, I'm going to go play birthday video games and eat a cheesecake. See you soon.
Tonrare is pretty much looking at everybody else right now because he's a bear. His life is in your hands.
How tall is Tonbear?
At the shoulders, I think he's like 4 feet tall. But if he were to stand up on his hind legs and say push his front paws up against the wall, he gets upwards of like 9 feet.
How tall is Gideon?
More than a foot.
Yeah.
Gideon is 6'3".
Wow. So Gideon and then Ira on Gideon's shoulders is 11 feet.
Hey.
Basically.
What part of Gideon has no strength would make you think that you could stand on Gideon's shoulders?
Okay. I'll.
Gideon on Ton Bear's shoulders would be 10 feet.
Easy. So I think just instinctually.
Excuse me.
Just instinctually, Tonrir is going to stand up on his hind legs. I don't know if for your characters, this is your first time seeing a bear on its hind legs, but it can be a mildly intimidating sight. And you're thankful that he's on your side.
What kind of bear are you?
It's a black bear.
Not as intimidating as a grizzly or Kodiak, but still quite tall.
It's something, right? You see Tonrir put his front paws on the wall of this pit and start inching up to try and get at the trapdoor, and maybe that gives you the idea that you need.
Oh, it's so crowded in there.
Yeah. So this pit that you find yourselves in is only about 12 feet by 12 feet. You are all pretty close together.
So Gideon, seeing what Tonrir is doing, is just going to like tap him on the shoulder and say, do you mind?
Tonrir looks up, feels the tap on the shoulder, and he kind of looks downward. And then his paws come off, and there's a gentle thud when his paws land on the ground of the pit. And there's a little bit of a splash of water. Then he's looking at you.
Okay, so Gideon's going to climb Tonbear to try and reach the door.
And as you do this, Tonrir is going to get the gist of it and is going to leverage his way by pawing up again, kind of using force to help you up. And he's going to start ascending you.
Okay. So, Gideon, you reach the top of the pit that way, and you see those two halves of the grate that are closed together. And there is a lock in the middle. And I think you probably try to pull the grate down or pull the grate up or open it in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's locked.
Like with a visible lock?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lock that seems to have auto shut itself. When the trap slammed shut, the lock closed. And you see above you a smile. You see Lena.
Fucking God with this.
And she says, looking for this, and jangles a key which is fixed to her belt.
So it's just a regular ass lock. It's not like enchanted or anything.
Mm-mm. It's a regular ass lock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, before you do like you do, Gideon, I'm going to tell you right now that if you're like, I throw a snowflake at it, it's not going to explode. That's not how this lock works. This is a tough ass lock.
I wasn't going to throw a snowflake at it. I was going to try to freeze it and smash it.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
Throw a snowflake at it.
Bing! Lena crouches down close to you and looks at you through the grate and says, this is an old cage. Used to contain, and she does finger quotes, out of control werewolves. This one's fallen to ruin, but I made a few adjustments to this one, just in case.
Does she notice that one of us is missing?
What a super good question. Yes.
Damn. God damn it.
Damn it.
Like super intimidating, just like in the middle of a speech and then goes, one, two.
So I had thought that Lena had run ahead, but she appears to be very nearby.
She doubled back.
Do I need to have like rolled a stealth check or something to see if she noticed me leave?
Where did you go?
She teleported herself into like a pile of leaves and like is sort of like hidden.
Boy, it would sure be sick if you had that cloak of leaves that makes you look like a pile of leaves, huh?
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
That sure would be handy now. Yeah, give me a stealth check.
All right.
And I'll do a contesting perception check.
Ah.
I rolled pretty good.
How dare you?
I rolled a 2.
So
it fell off my desk.
So Reva just pulls a leaf over her face
and goes, I am the night. I am the forest.
Reva like licks a big oak leaf, sticks it to her forehead, and starts army crawling across the ground.
So she saw me.
Okay.
There's like an awkward moment of eye contact.
Where?
So Reva pops out of the pit while Lena is like mid taunting everyone in the pit. She like popped out just across from her. And there's this moment of extremely awkward eye contact, and she turns around and runs. She just runs away.
So you're on the opposite side of the pit, like...
Yeah, I don't know where Lena is, but wherever Lena is.
Okay, so she's on the north side and you're on the south side.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
She just runs.
Lena watches you run away, and...
I just imagine Gideon sitting there trying to fuck with the grate, and she hears the footsteps running off, and she's just like... Reva just ran away.
Goodbye. This was fun and all, but...
Lena says, it looks like she left you. She does that, you know. You really shouldn't be surprised.
This is not news.
Way to state the obvious, Lena.
Did you look at your spells, Gids?
I did, and I don't think I'll be able to do this cool thing I wanted to do, so...
You want to text me about it? I mean, you're probably right. But just in case. You don't actually know. It's like in real life, if you were faced off against this, you don't actually know if something will work until you try it.
Yeah, Gideon will fuck around and find out. Gideon is standing on top of Tonrir and is looking at this lock. And if the trap closed on its own and the lock was able to engage itself, how does it... It's not like a typical...
It's not a padlock. I pictured...
Did the two halves of the grate, like, interlock with each other when they shut?
Yes. The two halves of the grate interlocked with each other, and a metal bar slid through to hold it together.
Okay.
So it's a bolt lock.
Bolt lock, yes.
Then I don't know about that. I was thinking more padlock type, so...
Mm-hmm.
What's the wall of the pit? Is it just dirt?
Or is it, like, a well-looking thing?
I think it's bricks, but the bricks are like, this is an old, out of use.
So it's like in disrepair.
Cage, it's in disrepair. So there are like roots poking through the brick and places that it has fallen through and you can see dirt. And you can kind of see why this wasn't a very good cage. You also see like large slash marks on the bricks as if people have been locked in here while trying to calm down.
Hmm.
So then Gideon's logic, I think, would dictate that if this cage was meant to keep out of control werewolves in, then claw and slash and those kinds of attacks won't really do anything. So she's just going to reach up and like test the mechanism and then look back down to everyone in the pit and say, it's a bolt lock.
So Reva's going to, or not Reva. No, no, not Reva.
You control Reva now, huh?
I don't control Reva. So Lena is going to start villain monologuing at you all while you figure out what to do. Because
hey Ira.
She has what? A very literal captive audience.
Do you still have that steel breath?
I do. I was saving it.
I was
just saying. Just
I was going to burn a spell slot if not.
Lena better start talking fast.
Okay, so she's going to start talking. And it's still dark and stormy, and though she had leaned down to look at you a second ago, she is moving above you now, pacing around the edge of this cage through the wind and the rain and the darkness, and she is hard to see. It's hard to know exactly where she is, but you can hear her. And she says, Tonrir, Gideon, Ira, and, well, not Reva anymore. You may not know me very well, but I know you. I've been watching. Four strangers show up in Sanguin Silvis looking for trouble. I had been waiting a long time for an opportunity that good. But you four are so infuriating. That first night with Iris, it should have been a bloodbath. A werewolf comes at you, and you what? Try to calm her down? What is wrong with you? Do you have no sense of self-preservation? You ruined it. It was perfect. Iris should have killed you. The good people of Sosalia should have been terrified. And it should have started this war with blood and fury. But instead, you came to camp and you drank my mother's ridiculous tea. And you were understanding. You were the perfect scapegoat. Right until you weren't.
Gideon has not really been paying attention. Gideon is done listening to her shit. So she's just kind of... She doesn't see this as any kind of hindrance to Tonbear, but she's just still, like, standing on him and thinking. She didn't step down from him to start thinking of a plan. She's just standing on his back and thinking, how do we get out of this?
She's just still pacing around. She's still monologuing. And she says, I had no choice. I had to let Iris run wild until she could do another act, one that would start this war.
While she's talking, Gideon just going to straight up interrupt her and ask Iris something because Gideon doesn't give a shit about what Lena is saying.
Go ahead.
Lena is probably mid-sentence and Gideon just looks down and says, Ira, do you have anything in your bag or some kind of weapon that you could conjure that we could use to pry at this bolt? Like, she's just planning out loud and, like, talking with Ira.
That is incredibly rude. And she snaps her fingers, and I need a reflex saving throw.
What the fuck? Okay. Damn it.
And did you crawl down, Tonrir, or are you still on Tonrir?
I'm still on Tonrir.
Tonrir, I would like a reflex saving throw.
So two separate reflex throws?
Yeah. Okay.
18 plus 4, so 22.
Okay. Gideon?
12.
Okay.
Boy.
So Tonrir, you move out of the way. You have played this game before. You see the storm cloud split overhead. You see the flash of light, and you move to the side. Yes?
There's water.
Oh, no! Okay, Tonrir, you move to the side. Gideon, you do not. I think as Tonrir moves
to
the side.
Well, if Tonrir moves to the side, I probably fell off of him.
You fall off of Tonrir.
Thanks, Tonrir.
And you land in that water, and as you land in that water.
Oh, God. This is like a straight up torture chamber.
A lightning bolt comes down and hits you. And let me.
Oh, God.
Would it spread to everyone then?
So you're going to get the most damage. Other people will get a little bit.
A little splash.
A little splash of damage. Hey, that's a lot you're rolling.
That pause.
Gideon, you take 24 points of damage.
Mm.
Okay, I have to do a death check or whatever.
No, we figured this out last time.
Oh.
The rule for you take half damage and then you might die is only for 50 points or more. So you do, however, find yourself at 3 hit points.
Yep.
Jesus.
So, Gideon, you are shocked. This lightning bolt comes down through your body. You are shocked.
Shocked and appalled.
Where in your body do you think it hits first?
I think that if Gideon fell off of Tonrir, she just like fell flat on her back in the water, it probably would hit her square in the torso.
Okay.
How fitting, because Gideon had thrown a crossbow at.
So where that lightning bolt hits, a mark, that same mark that branches, like the branches of a tree or a nervous system.
Lichtenberg figures.
Mm.
Yeah, so you get those running over your body from where it struck. And you get the impression that that is going to scar.
Neat.
Nice.
Cool scar. If you live.
So Gideon, you are in a bad way.
Hey, that's pretty neat.
What?
Everybody else, I want you to take 4 points of damage as the electricity moves through the water and hits you too.
4?
Mm-hmm.
Electricity damage. Lucky for y'all.
Ira, you're at 11.
Yep.
Tonrir, you are at 16.
Oh, 16. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Lena sends this bolt of lightning through Gideon's body into the pit and says, "Excuse me, I was speaking."
Ira obviously has felt the effects of the shock and definitely sees Gideon like clinging to life right now. And
just kind of lying in a daze.
Yeah.
This puddle.
Face down in this puddle.
He's come to this realization, a like very clear realization that we are at an incredible disadvantage and we are not going to get out of this through combat or fighting or going against Lena right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fight Lena verbally or, you know, physically. So Ira is going to perform Fascinate. And the way he's going to perform this is through talking to Lena about how great she's done. She's won.
This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a perform check.
Okay. So my performance checks are a +8, but I also have the feather earring that's +1 on performance.
Your gift from Zira.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I definitely want to hear you. I definitely want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be off the top of my head. So
I was under some pressure right now.
I mean, I think off the top of your head makes sense.
It almost landed on 5, but it landed on 15. 15 plus 9 is 24.
Okay. And is there some kind of save against Fascinate?
Yeah. 10 plus half the level plus charisma.
A bard can use this performance to cause one or more creatures to become fascinated with them. So you're level 5, so we can round it up to 3. So that's 13 plus what's your charisma modifier?
3.
So 16.
Okay, so the DC to beat is 16. I want to have you deliver this first, and then I'm going to roll against it.
Okay. So Ira looks around at all the chaos and the pain that's happening and came to that realization and looks up at Lena and sighs and says, "You've won, Lena. You've won. Look at us. We're beaten. You're right. You know, there is order to this world, and we're at the bottom of that order. You're at the top, literally right now. You've won. You've got us. I get it now. I understand what you're trying to say. And it's true. I mean, we can't fight that anymore. So I know what you're saying. And I get it. What do you need us to do? What do you want from us?"
All right. I'm going to roll a will save.
What's that face?
You got her.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Playing on that ego.
So she says, yes, finally. You have no idea how long I've been trying to get someone to understand. I'm right. We don't have to be enemies, any of us. Pax, Tonrir, Ira, I mean, none of us have to be enemies, really. I'm your intellectual superior, but I can also be your ally.
Rude.
Ira says, yeah, I get it. We just have to know our place. We just have to know where we stand in the order.
You're lucky Gideon's dead.
Can I say what Ira is hoping?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ira has no idea if this is going to work or if Riva is even on the same level or anywhere near or is like has turned back. But Ira is hoping against hope that Riva is still on our side and has come back, sneaking back. And so Ira has fascinated Lena so that Lena has a harder time perceiving whether anyone is around her.
Trying to get Riva to take advantage of the distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really smart. This is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick check-in. What would Riva be feeling from the fact that Gideon got electrocuted?
What would Riva be feeling?
Oh, agony. I mean, just a moment of
is
absolute...
Is that mind connection still going on?
Oh, yeah. It goes for hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Riva felt that. Wherever she is, she felt that.
If Riva decides to do this instead of running off to wherever Riva was going, that feeling of absolute agony could be the driving point. Because even if Riva was too far away to hear Ira cast Fascinate, I wonder if that shared pain would drive her back.
Mm.
Never mind the loud lightning strike at the same time.
Yeah, you might have heard that, felt the agony, and been like, ooh, oh, shit.
Put two and two together.
Yeah, so I was just reading about Fascinated. So you really, you can't do anything except for stand or sit quietly. You can do a skill check as a reaction to the fascination, but nothing outside of that, basically.
Any potential threat, such as a creature approaching, allows the fascinated creature a new saving throw.
If they see it.
But what if the creature approaches sneakily?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I mean, it looks like I'm stuck. So what do you all... do. I guess Lena's just looking at you affectionately right now.
What Gideon does is lie there.
Gideon's just gurgling softly.
Tonmer's gonna come back down off of the wall and paw at Gideon to try it and get her to sit up, like scoop with his front arm to try and get her to sit up above the water.
Okay, so I mean, Lena is fascinated. All she can do is stand quietly and pay attention.
Because I got them good words.
Hell yes.
To Ira, just like completely enraptured at the idea that someone agrees with her, that someone understands.
Can I slide something in now?
Yes.
All right.
This dagger?
So I don't think the people in the pit can see this. But
okay.
Lena might see. She's like looking at Ira right now, right?
Yes.
But I think maybe out of the corner of her eye, she sees a figure slowly walking up the path.
Okay.
Towards her.
Now, I will say that if she identifies any type of potential threat, I get to make a new saving throw.
Sneak from behind. Go behind.
If she allows the figure to approach, eventually they come close enough so that, like, under the moonlight, you see Ning shuffling along.
That one's mine. That one's mine. Yes.
Well, you seem to see Ning in her werewolf form shuffling up the path with her cane.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I will say, so fascinated, it says if a hostile creature approaches.
Okay. Okay. So... Okay.
Well, I think Ning would be considered hostile at this point.
Ah, that's fair. Ning did just try to shoot her.
Yeah, Ning just tried to blast her to death. However, I assume you're doing like a disguise spell right now.
So yes, fetchlings as an innate trait, have disguise self once a day. We can get into the difficulty checks and all that.
There's an initial save that I get to do, right, to identify you as an imposter.
There's an initial will save to see if you identify that this is an illusion. And then if you fail that will save, then there's another disguise check where you contest my disguise skill with your perception.
Okay, how about this? I will take that -4 penalty on skill checks from Fascinate as I try to identify this as not Ning. So I will use that -4 penalty in this incredibly important check, and then I will make my will saving throw against Fascinate. Does that sound fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. What are the numbers? Because I think Disguise Self has a lot of numbers, right? Like how intimate we are, which is very.
Oh, boy. Right. Well, that's later. But the initial one is just a will save, and that's against a DC of...
This is brilliant, by the way.
10 plus the caster level. And because this is an innate racial spell, the caster level is equal to my hit dice, which is 5, so 15.
You are also level 5, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I am, but I'm actually... So I'm a level 4 barbarian, level 1 arcanist. So My other spells have... You only add 1, but because gotcha. This is an innate spell, you add 5.
That's awesome.
Reva has a very unique build. Yeah. Hmm.
So let's say the will save is 15.
Okay, so the will save is 15 to not immediately know that this is a disguise self spell.
Yes.
Okay. And I have a -4 penalty.
That's right.
And it's a will save?
It's a will save.
Okay. That's a 14.
Wow.
And that's Ning.
And that's Ning, I guess.
And that's Ning.
Without Fascinate, that would not have worked. Okay, so Lena sees
Thank God.
Ning walking up the path and spins on her heel, completely alarmed. No idea how the hell Ning got here, because as far as she can tell, Ning should be super busy right now. And Ning is going to make another saving throw against Fascinate.
You mean Lena's going to make another will
Sorry.
Saving throw?
Ning's going to make... Wait, no. I got this. Lena is going to make another saving throw against Fascinate.
You even confused the GM. They think it's Ning.
The spell works so well.
This is amazing.
Who am I? Who are you? Okay, I got an 18. And I believe the Fascinate check was 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not fascinated.
Lena is no longer fascinated. She is very distracted by the sudden appearance of what everyone fears, her mother.
Oh,
but your fascinate
man.
Spell did allow Reva to pass that check.
Thank you. I remembered what the other bonus was. This doesn't matter. But it was that I'm supposed to add my spellcasting modifier.
Which is 1.
Plus 2, actually, for int.
Okay.
So the difficulty check was 17.
Okay. But well, she still failed.
Good to know for later.
Good.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Lena's distracted at this moment.
I think that's safe to say, yeah.
So, oh boy. Okay. I think I'm going to have to abandon wild shape.
Okay.
Since Lena's distracted.
Okay.
Tonmir is going to force himself out of wild shape. And then he's going to use his Cloak of the Cypress.
Oh, to turn into a big fucking tree.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Because he's standing in water.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's
so
really smart.
Smart.
Yeah, okay.
That was my back pocket item. I wanted to see if anything else would happen.
That is so smart. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's awesome. Okay.
Stuff's about to get so wild.
Mm.
Yeah. After having pawed Gideon up out of the water to get her to sit up, Tonrir looks back up at the top of the cage and can hear that Lena's just stopped talking for whatever reason. He's not sure what. And Reva, Gideon, you sense some of that animalistic instinct starting to recede. And as that happens, Gideon, you see him starting to shift back into his self. But it doesn't last long, because just as soon as that fur and all of that mass starts melting away, you only see him for a brief second before you start seeing that bark again, starting to wrap around him, starting to swallow him up, all of the cloak enveloping him, and you see the roots go into the ground.
And I think as the roots dig in through this brick, you displace all of the brick. The brick starts folding over itself and you destroy this cage and you pop the lock with your upward growth.
Yeah, like nice. If even if the lock doesn't pop, the metal will get pushed up out of its hold from the dirt.
That's and so cool.
Hanging on a branch now somewhere is this metal grate that's been pulled up out of the ground. And Riva, you see a huge fucking tree coming out of a hole.
Well, that wasn't there before.